in mind. Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. The thought today is simply this: trust and obey. Trust and obey. In fact, there's a song that says the very same thing as that. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of your precious word. Thank you for these great truths found in Scripture. Thank you today for the music that's already been a blessing and has touched our hearts. Now, my Father, I pray this morning the Spirit of God would have the liberty to visit up and down the pews, touching hearts, working in people's hearts and needs. And my Father, if there's someone here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, I pray this will be the day of that experience. Then, my Father, help us all to trust and to obey you. We that know you, help us, Lord, to trust you and to obey you on a daily basis. Now, bless us now. Meet needs this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What does trust mean? Trust means confidence. It means reliance. It means dependence. That's what it means. Trust and faith are often used interchangeably. Trust the Lord or exercise faith in him. We could say the same thing. Both words are used interchangeably. May I say today it's impossible to please God without trusting him. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him, God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. We go through life exercising faith. We go through life exercising trust. Many times we don't realize it, but it's true. We trust doctors. We trust drivers. We trust spouses, we trust friends, we trust mechanics, we trust doctors, dentists, carpenters, plumbers, and policemen. There's only two people we don't trust, and that happens to be a lawyer or a politician. Just kidding, of course. There's even good ones there. But you see, trust is something that we do on a regular basis. We trusted the system. We adjusted the clock. And to prove that you trusted the system and adjusted your clock, you're here. And as I look at that clock right now, it says 11:30. And everybody knows what that means. That means there's 30 minutes I'll have your attention. And after that, Lord help me. I'm on my own. But we spend trust, we exercise trust every day. We lose trust in people when people let us down. But tragically, God is the least trusted. And God never lets us down. But yet we fail to trust in him. Many use the excuse sometimes. They have trouble trusting God because they can't see him. Or they don't understand him. So therefore they can't trust him. Well, I can't see God with a naked eye, but I sure can see clear evidence of his existence. I can't explain the wind, but I sure will hoist the sail if I happen to go sailboating. I can't understand auto mechanics, but there's not a single day in my life but what I'm not usually driving my automobile. The point is, we have a tendency to trust people that we don't always know, and we trust things that we don't understand. So in reality, we trust people, we trust things But yet many times we don't trust God. And how tragic that is. You know, the Bible gives two options when it comes to the matter of trust and fear. Two options. Think about it. Actually, trust can be somewhat of an antibiotic, or trust can be like a medicine, like a vitamin. First of all, trust is kind of like an antibiotic. What time I was afraid, I'll trust in Him. Think about it. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. But trust can be like a vitamin. I will trust and not be afraid. Actually, I've given you two Bible verses. Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Isaiah 12:2, I will trust and not be afraid. The best option is the second one. I will trust and not be afraid. But I'm glad to say today that when we are afraid, we still can trust. Most of us fit in that category number one. We have a problem. We go through life fretting and fearing and doubting and questioning. But God still comes to us in grace, in mercy, and love. And He still says, you can still trust me, regardless of your fears. Now, if somehow, some way, we could reach a place in our life where our faith would be strong, then perhaps we could trust and not be afraid. But while we are afraid, let's still keep on trusting Him. Let's go back to this great verse. What I would like to do this morning is to break it down a little bit. I want us to look at it today. What a precious passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let me give it to you like this. Notice the person of our trust. Trust in the Lord. That's the person of our trust. We sure can't trust ourselves. We sure can't trust what we possess. We sure can't trust our health. We can't always trust our friends. But thank God we can always trust the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Somebody said, I've held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. Trust in the Lord. By the way, that's what we preach every Sunday. That's what we preach every Wednesday night. In fact, that's what we preach all the time. When we come to church, sermons may be dressed up differently, but it's still the same driving point. Trust the Lord. We can't trust, like the verse says, we can't trust in princes. We can't trust in chariots. We can't trust in horses. I'm referencing a Bible passage. But we can trust the Lord. We can't trust our military might. We can't trust the possessions that we have in our homes. We can't trust our land, our properties. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our health. We can't trust our friends. But we can always, thank God, trust the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. His character, His motives, and His wisdom makes Him trustworthy. I like what it says in Psalm 84, verse number 11. Oh, here's a great verse. Psalm 84, verse number 11. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. We must trust Him. Now, here's the kicker. We must trust Him for salvation before we can trust Him for daily direction. Let me illustrate it like this. All of us live in neighborhoods. We have neighbors on both sides of us, many times across the street from us or behind us. Now, Brother Jeff is my neighbor. He's a neighbor from behind. have a neighbor on the left of where I live, her name is Jean. Have a neighbor on the right of where I live, her name is Bernie. Well, now, let me illustrate it like this. They're all fine neighbors. But I have no right to go to see my neighbor, either walk across the street, go behind the house, go to the side of the house, and look at my neighbors and say, okay, here's a list of my needs today, just cut me a check. That's not the way it works. They're my neighbors, but they didn't take me to raise. But I can say this morning, when God saved me, He took me to raise. God promised to take care of my needs. I can go to the Lord and I can hand Him the list, and I can believe and trust that God will help me because I'm His child. We must trust Him for salvation before we can trust Him for direction. Salvation's where it starts. If you're not saved, you're not His child. How can we be trusting Him for direction if we haven't trusted Him for salvation? I'll illustrate it like this. If I'm going to take a flight to Atlanta, I have to first of all book the flight. Then I have to get on board. Now, I may not see the pilot of the plane, but there's a certain amount of trust built in. I still climb up on that plane. I still sit down, I still relax as much as I possibly can, of course. And we all know how it is with flying. I really would prefer to keep my feet on the ground as much as I possibly can. At least when I'm driving, even as bad as a driver I am, I still have a little bit of control of the situation. No comments. But we still get on the plane. I may not see the pilot, but I know that plane has a pilot. I may know nothing about that pilot's ability, that pilot's background, that pilot's education, that pilot's training, but I still have faith and confidence and trust in the system that the airline industry is going to staff the airlines with someone who is reputable, who can fly the plane. I've never looked upon my God face to face, but I still believe Him. I still know Him. I think of what Peter said, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't see the Lord, but I sure see what He's done, and I see what He's doing. I don't see the pilot flying the plane, but I still get on board. When I go outside and look up at the sky and I see a plane coming over, I certainly can't see the pilot, but I can see the plane. And I certainly can know that that plane must have a pilot or it wouldn't be flying unless it's on automatic pilot. But the flying plane lets me know there's a pilot on board. My friend, the point I want to make this morning, when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The first element of trust has to be the trust of salvation. The trust Him in knowing Him. The trusting Him to have a relationship with Him. How can we expect God to supply our needs if we rejected Him in the offer of salvation? Amen. We must first of all know Him as Savior before we can depend upon Him to be our guide. Do you know Him as Savior? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So it begins with receiving Him. Go back to a verse that we quote all the time. But my God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Now there's a kicker in that verse. That's implying knowing Him. That's implying recognizing Him. How can we expect God to supply our needs if we've rejected His Son? It begins with salvation. We still have to accept the person of Jesus Christ before we can depend on God to supply our needs. So before we quote that verse, let's make sure we can identify personally with the first part of that verse that says, my God shall supply all your need. Can you say He's my God? Can you say I own Him? Can you say I know Him? It begins with personal relationship, and then thank God He'll supply your needs. Here's what I've learned about God supplying our needs. God doesn't always give us what we want. He doesn't always give us what will make us happy. He doesn't always provide the needs that perhaps we're expecting. But what He gives us is what He knows that we really do need. Amen. God may not give us a direct answer to prayer in terms of physical needs, in terms of financial needs. But God gives us the grace and the ability to be able to accept what He does give us. Whether it's what we expect or what He does give us, His goodness still gives us the ability to accept what He gives us. Though it may not match what we expect. My God shall supply all you need. Here's the point I'm trying to make, and I want to move on here. The person of our trust. Trust in the Lord. But first of all, make sure you're on the passenger list before you fly. Get on the passenger list. And note something else. The pilot of an airplane has access to the passenger list, and He knows who's on board. God knows today who's on board. He knows right now. He has your number. He knows where you live. He knows your post office box. He knows today where you stand, where you stack up spiritually. God knows today if you're a put on or real. He knows today if you have religion or righteousness. He knows today if you have a mouth acknowledgement or a heart acknowledgement. God knows He has the passenger list. Here's a good verse to keep in mind. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knoweth them that trust in Him. We can go through life fooling each other, and we all do a pretty good job at that. Some of the best show actors you'll find are not to be found in Hollywood. They're found in churches. You say that's unfair. No, that's reality. It is so easy to come to church in a Wednesday service, and my, don't you all look good. Everybody decked out today, you look fine. But you see, I can't see inside your heart or your mind, but God can. And it's one thing to have our Sunday go to meeting look, but it's another thing to have our Sunday go to meeting heart experience with God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. My point is simply this right now. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you have the absolute certainty today that you trusted in the Lord for salvation? Do you know right now, if your heart quit beating, and like I heard today, Brother Clyde shared with me, this gentleman that works over here at this gun shop, I've been in there many times and looked at him many times. The man had a massive heart attack and had a bypass surgery. Let me tell you something, you and I don't know right now what's going on in these physical bodies of ours. And I'll tell you something else, doctors miss it a lot of times. And blood reports miss it. We don't know what's going on, but there's one thing we need to know. We need to know we're on the passenger list. We need to know today that we'll take our flight final to glory land. We don't know a lot, but we need to know for sure we're saved. The person of our trust. Trust in the Lord. Secondly, note something else. The place of our trust. The place of our trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. We're talking about a wholehearted trust. We're talking about a heart trust. A heart trust. What is a heart, preacher? Well, the heart, theologians tell us, is a seat of the emotions, the intellect, and the will. The heart represents a spiritual side of an individual. You know, it's impossible to trust the Lord without doing something else. And here again is one of those glitches that many people miss. Let me pretend this morning I'm back in a classroom for just a moment. And I'm going to ask you a question, and anybody feel free to answer. It's dangerous for me to do this, I understand. But let me ask this question this morning. It's either yes or no. Is it possible to trust God without trusting His Word? Yes or no? Correct answer, students. It's impossible to say I trust God without trusting His Word. So to trust the Lord means that I've got to obey His Word. How can we trust Him if we don't trust what He says? How can we trust what He says if we reject what He says? How does He speak? You know, I've been saved now for over 40 years. And I've got to tell you, heaven's been silent for these 40 years in terms of an audible voice coming out of heaven and saying, Chuck Peters, you get up today, you read your Bible. Or Chuck Peters, it's Sunday, you go to church. Or Chuck Peters, it's Wednesday, you go back to church on Wednesday. Or Chuck Peters, you pray. I've never heard God with an audible voice tell me to do those things. Never. I've never had sensations go up my spine. I've never had a message written by an angel in the cloud work where God said, this is the way, walk ye in it, written in a message in the sky. Never happened. But I've learned this. God has a way of speaking. And it's confined to one method. The Word of God. How can He speak His Word? Now, how does He speak to us through His Word? Well, to break it down in simple terms, we read it. Have you ever been reading Scripture, and as you read a passage of Scripture, you didn't hear the voice of God audibly, but yet there was a still small voice within your heart, within your soul, and it's the Holy Spirit, that's who it is. And the Spirit of God reminds you, hey, this is for you. This is your comfort for the day. This is your help for today. And you can almost sense the Lord being in the room with you and putting His arm around you and loving you and whispering in your ear, everything's okay. Have you ever had that experience while you've been alone with God, reading His precious Word, but sensing His presence? He speaks through His Word. We read the Word of God. We find comfort. We find promises. We find hope. and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and personalizes it to our heart, and we sense that God is speaking to us. We can't explain it, but we're there when it happens. How else? God speaks to us through His Word, reading it, preaching what I'm doing right now, what I'm doing right now. A preaching service is a God-ordained service when a preacher is preaching the gospel. God speaks through the Word as it's preached. We get into trouble when we come into church and we excuse ourselves and have the attitude the preacher was preaching to my friend, my neighbor, the person beside me, the person behind me, the person in front of me. When are we going to ever open ourselves up to the fact that no, God was speaking to you if you would let Him? Why did you come today? You came because it's a preaching service. But I hope you came for more reasons than simply it's a Sunday thing to do. How many times have precious souls come to Christ through the preaching of the Word of God from the pulpit? How many times have God's people had revival within their soul as they've listened to the message, as a preacher has preached it? They've come forward at an invitation, and they've buried their head and their hearts on an altar before God, and God revived their hearts and revived their souls. How does He speak to us? Through the Word. We read it. We have it preached to us. We have it taught to us. Or someone shows up at our doorstep who's another Christian and comes in and sits down and says, I want to encourage you today. They open the Bible. They read a passage of Scripture. They put their arms around you. They pray with you. They claim promises of the Bible in your presence. And you can sense God is speaking to you, encouraging you through the words of a faithful witness who took the Bible and shared it with you, and God used His Word and spoke to your heart. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Someone put it like this. They said, how often we trust each other and only doubt the Lord. We take the words of mortals and yet distrust His Word. But oh, what light and glory would shine o'er all our days if we will always would remember that God means just what He says. Trust in the Lord, the person of our trust. With all thy heart, that's the place of our trust. Sometimes an illustration, you know, is good. Sometimes, you know, a window is, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Sometimes a sermon illustration will drive a point home when maybe nothing else will. But let me illustrate it like this. You know what? We really don't trust each other if we reject what people tell us. If I say to you, I trust you, and you give me some advice, and I say, no, thank you. I don't want to hear it. Well, then we really haven't trusted the person. How can we trust the person if we've not trusted their words or trusted their ability? How can we say that we trust God if we don't trust His Word or trust His ability? It's easier to say, I trust God, than to mean it. It's easier to say, I'm walking by faith, than to mean it. You know, I think it's kind of like this. There's not a person in this building this morning that would espouse atheism. None of us. There's not a person here that would say, I believe in atheism. None of us do. We believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We believe in creation. We believe in the existence of God. But now, are you ready for this? While none of us believe in atheism, if we're not careful, we'll practice practical atheism. And here's what I mean. We trust God to save us. And then when problems and troubles come, we act like He don't exist. That's practical atheism. We believe that he can save us, but we don't believe he can comfort us. We believe that he can save us, but we don't believe he can help us. We believe that he can save us, but we don't believe he'll be with us. We believed him good enough to say yes to his word when he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." But many times since then, the words in the same Bible that tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We have trouble with that. If God is good and great and gracious enough to save us and put us on a passenger list, you can be sure that God's going to see us through to our destination. Now, sometimes people say, "Well, I plan to do this. I plan to do that. I plan to get saved. I plan to join the church. I plan to get baptized. I plan to do those things." Good intentions will never get the job done. Go ahead this morning, kick yourself in the shin, say, it's tired. I'm tired of going through life talking about what I plan to do. I'm going to take God at His word this morning. I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, all my heart, that preacher's got up and he's preached before, get saved. Today I'm going to do it. That preacher's got up and preached before, get saved, get baptized, join the church, serve God. I'm going to do it. Listen to me this morning. You say, "Preacher, why are you getting so hot around the collar?" We need to get hot around the collar. We need to get riled up about what's right. Every time that I come to Smith Grove Baptist Church and walk in this pulpit, I recognize a solemn, serious responsibility resting upon my shoulders, upon my heart. And you know what it is? Give the people what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear. Amen. Comes down to that. The Bible says, and we make no apology for it, you must be born again. The Bible says we make no apology for it, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says we make no apology for it, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. The Bible says it, we believe it, we preach it, and we're not arrogant when we say this. We just need to get on board with what God says, and life will be so much better for us all. We come now to the final point. The person of our trust. Trust in the Lord. The place of our trust. With all thine heart. Finally, the paths of our trust. He shall direct thy paths. I love that. He shall direct thy paths. We're not capable of directing our own steps and our own paths. We don't have enough sense. We can't see far enough ahead. We don't know what's around the bend. I want to make sure that God's directing my path. I've tried before to be my own director. It hasn't worked. I've wound up confused, discouraged, defeated every time I've tried to be my own director. That's above my pay scale. God's the only sufficient director. He shall direct thy paths. We need to let Him be our director. You know, this morning, I suppose we can put it like this. He shall direct our paths. I'm not able to direct them myself. The Lord's going to have to do it. So why do I want to stress myself out and be frustrated myself when I already have it written in black and white in the Word of God that if I'll just trust Him with all my heart, He'll direct my paths, and wherever He takes me, it's got to be good. Hey, Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." In other words, we don't have what it takes. the paths. His directed paths are safe paths. They're blessed paths. They are. God's paths are safe paths. What about Psalm 1? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his precept doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God's paths are pleasant paths. God's paths are safe paths. God's paths are happy paths. Our paths are failures. Our paths are disappointments. But God's paths are good because they're associated with His will for our lives. His directed paths are fine-tuned to our very steps. Here's what I've said, and I'm closing very, very shortly. The person of our trust, trust in the Lord. The place of our trust, with all thine hearts, lean not unto thine own understanding. And the paths of our trust, He shall direct thy paths. Think about this. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day. But step by step, my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But He will say, this is the way, by faith, now walk you in it. And I'm glad that it's so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, His grace shall far exceed my care. Why need to worry then or fret? The God who gave His only Son holds all my moments in His hands and gives them one by one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We need to put ourselves under His guidance. And if we do that, the paths that He directs for us will be safe paths, good paths, wholesome paths, and paths that will eventually take us to glory. I like what Jonathan Edwards said, or maybe it wasn't Jonathan Edwards, but a preacher I read. He said, "Believe that He is able to do what He will, wise to do what is best, faithful to His promise to do what is best for me, if I trust Him and obey Him." Where are you this morning in terms of your relationship with God? Am I preaching to a house full of Christians? Or is there someone today that has never settled it once and for all about Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted Him for salvation? And then, Christian, are we trusting Him now with all our hearts? Not with our hands behind our back and our fingers crossed. Not with reservation. But are we trusting Him today with our cares, our needs, to take care of us and to guide us step by step? We need to put everything into His hands because, after all, He's the only one capable of handling what we're dealing with in life. This morning when we have an invitation, we're going to sing that song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And I want you to think about that song today. If you're here without Christ, I'm going to be standing there at the front. Would you make your way down this aisle and let us know you need the Savior today, and you can go out of here today saved. Maybe as a Christian, there's things pressing in upon you, and you'd like to take advantage of this altar today and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to trust You with all my heart to take care of these needs that I'm dealing with. And I believe You that You'll direct my paths. You come today while we sing. Let's pray. Father in heaven,